change his face. You put a woman's back against the wall.
Do it on my own, do it on my own.
What you think she gonna do?
Do it on my own.
I know what I'ma do.
Do it on my own, do it on my own. Do it on my own, do it on my own.
Do it on my own.
No, I don't need you.
Do it on my own.
But I want you.
Hey everybody, welcome to season 2, episode 1 of Mommy and Wild Black. I can't believe it, like, we are in season 2. All right, you know, it's hosted by me, LT. I'm from New Orleans, residing in Houston, Texas, and I am raising a little king 24/7, 365. And so on Mommy and Wild Black, you know, unorthodox is normal here. We always talk about the butterfly effects of relationships, health, spirituality, and self-worth. This is a safe space and we hold space. So on this episode, I am super, super, super excited to welcome Chelsea. Chelsea Richardson is from South Carolina. She is an amazing Black woman, Black girl magic all day, every day. She has started 4 companies. She's authored 2 books, which are titled Always Be Serving and Notes to Self. We're definitely going to make sure that I leave the website address in this podcast so you can go and purchase books. But what she's mainly known for is for her consulting firm, so F5 Consulting, and it's a transformational consulting firm that she started in 2018. And she caters to everyone, regardless of your gender, regardless of your religious background. She caters to everyone. So individuals and business owners who are passionate about creating excellence, both personally and professionally, and they are looking to grow their business from ideas to implementation. So the great thing about F5 Consulting is she literally customizes everything. It is a tailored experience. No two people are going to get the same experience. And so she's known on social media platforms, literally TikTok, Instagram, everywhere, as the refresher. And when you hear her speak, you will understand why she is known as the refresher. I tell her all the time, if you just talk to her for 5 minutes, you already feel rejuvenated and replenished. So Chelsea, I would go ahead and allow you a chance to just talk and tell everyone about you.
You got me over here smiling. Thank you so much, LT. I'm happy, so excited, so blessed to be on this podcast. As she said, my name is Chelsea Richardson. I am the founder of F5 Consulting, and I feel like a bigger deal than I really am because LT made me sound so good, but I'm just so thankful. I do get to work with people individually and professionally, business owners, but I'm most passionate about literally being the refresher because I love to speak life to people, and that's where my gift is. That's what I'm learning, and that's where God is pushing me. So I'm happy to be on this podcast and really speak some life into the mothers, Black mothers. I appreciate you all. I am not a mother, but I salute the work that you do every day, because I know that it's hard, and typically you don't find a place where you can have a safe space like LT has created. So I'm thankful to her to have this space and invite me into the space to just be able to provide you something that may uplift you and carry you throughout your journey as a mother.
Thank you. And you are always uplifting and you're always welcome. And I'm super excited. Thank you so much for just being willing to take the call when I called, because I literally just DM'd you in the middle of when you guys were getting ready to step into your conference, which I heard was amazing. And you answered the call, and I super appreciate that. I love you for that. Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, ladies, mothers, listeners, so on this episode, we are jumping into mindset. As you know, it's February 1st. This is literally Black History Month. This is the first day of the month. We are into the second month of the year, though. So we are into 2022, and we are almost approaching halfway through Q1 of the year. Like, time literally flies. It does not stand still. And for some of us mothers, we have not even gotten started. And for other ones, you hit the ground running January 1. And so this is an episode where we're talking about mindset, you know, focusing on also to just being gracious with ourselves. Whether you started January 1 or you are getting ready to start tomorrow, just talking about mindset and how the mindset changes everything around you. And as mothers, a lot of times we are something and someone to everyone else and nothing to ourselves, or we're last on the list. And just how are we keeping ourselves uplifted? How are we holding space for ourselves? How are we being gracious with ourselves? How are we recharging ourselves? Where are we going to get that? And so that is what this episode is about. So we'll go ahead and jump right in. So, Chelsea, you are the refresher. So I'm like, I'm so excited to just like jump into this. So I am a single mother. I'm a single mother. I have a son. He's 5. A lot of women, whether you're married or single, you're more often than not, we are mothers to more than one child. And it's hard to just juggle it with one. And so I salute mothers who have 3 and 4 and 5 and more children, plus husbands trying to juggle that. And for me, I'm feeling that the year has started and I am in a space of floating, that I'm not really anchored to anything. I can't say that I can't necessarily say that I'm feeling depressed, because I don't feel that, but I feel like I'm just kind of floating, just drifting. And I'm like, I need to be anchored. So I'll start there. What do you say to mothers who are feeling in that space right now of just like, I'm being pulled in all of these different directions, and you want to control part of that, but at some point you might feel like, you know what, it's just easier for me to just float?
That's a really, really good question. What I would say is that there is a certain level of, you got to take a pause first. And when you take that pause, you're taking a pause for yourself, because you can be floating, like you said, in any direction that you want to, but you're really not accomplishing anything. You're just like, you in this hamster wheel. You're just working and working. You're doing something for your son. You're trying to do something for yourself, but nothing is really just getting accomplished, because you're just in sort of a routine, but not a productive routine. So when you take that pause, you have to take a pause. And in that pause, I mean, you absolutely do nothing. Your pause might be 5 o'clock in the morning before your son gets up for the day, before you have to start work. When you take that pause, you need to have a conversation with yourself. You say, LT, how are you feeling today? What does LT need? Do I need a cup of coffee? Do I need tea? Do I need to go for a walk? Do I need to read a book? Do I need devotion? Do I need prayer? Do I need somebody to pray for me if I can't pray for myself today? What do I need to journal? Do I need to meditate? In that pause, it's literally your silent thoughts, your silent conversation with yourself to see what it is that you need. Because if you keep floating, eventually your body is going to fail you. You can keep going as long as you think you can go, but if you don't have the capacity, you can't do anything. And if you are not, as you said, LT, if you're not anything for yourself, you can't be anything to anybody else. So you really have to take an internal reflection, that opportunity and the pause to say, what do I need? Because you have to feed you first. You can't feed your son. You can't feed your husband or those other 3, 5, 7, how many other kids you have, if you don't have anything that your mind and your body is fueled off of. And when you take the pause, you assess, you know, what it is that you need and what you're feeling, and you also take the opportunity to give yourself those things. Now you are establishing a foundation that you can operate from. But without that, you literally will run yourself in the ground. And then that builds frustration and anger because you can't be Superwoman. You're not supposed to be. You're supposed to take mm-hmm. a pause for yourself, refuel, and then be able to give what you need and get what you need.
So there's so much that you said in that I want to unpack.
Okay.
So you said, it sounds like what you're saying is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you need a routine is probably not the right word, but mm-hmm. you need to, it is essential, it's important to cultivate and carve out time every day to do what you refer to as this internal reflection, and assessing, you know, whether or not what it is that you need. And for some mothers, the first thing is carving out the time to be able to do that. To like okay, getting up that extra hour at like 5 or 4 o'clock sounds good, but in theory, you know, and just doing that, maybe it's a thing of like doing it in pockets. Like, I don't know if you can really, or if you, some you would recommend, like, you know, hey, if you're driving, use that time to internally reflect, or if you're cooking, or if you're taking a shower, or, you know, things like that. But one of the things you said was, you know, you have to feed you first. And immediately I thought about when you're on the plane, right? When you're on the plane, the first thing that the flight attendant tells you is you're supposed to put on your mask first and then help your children put on their mask.
Yep.
And that all makes sense, you know, like when they say that. But then I thought to myself, yeah, you do that then, but in real life, you take care of you first. Like, I'm just like, you know, you never get to talk to the people when the plane's going down, right? To see, did they put on their mask first or did they put on the other person's mask? But I guess one of those pieces that I want to just pull apart is just, you know, that feeding you first and also at the asking for help, because I hear that in there, like if you need help. But for Black women, and not just Black mothers, for Black women and even Black men, right? Because if we started talking about mental health, which is a whole nother topic in itself, you know, we don't go see therapists. We don't feel that we have a safe space to be able to do that, or a safe space to say that I need help. So that's the first, you know, thing that comes up. So like, how is it, or how do you say you need help? Like, if you are incapable of saying I need help, how do you say you need help?
You know, I think that, as you said, a lot of us as Black women, and then you add the you know, the extra layer of being a mother, and also, you know, some women are wives, it's very difficult for Black women to ask for help, because society, and I'm not really society, I'm going to take it back to our parents, or what we saw growing up, have created this false reality that we have to be strong. We have to, you know, bear everybody's problems and our own. But that comes to be untrue, because we are seeing, I mean, if we just look in the last week or 2 weeks, so many suicides and, you know, so many people being depressed. And it's just, it's almost unbelievable. And it's so saddening to see. But this is real life, because we were given these pressures, you know, that we feel we have to bear. But what I think happens is, if we have the right people around us, this comes with us choosing people that are in our circles that can see and feel those quiet gestures or those silent emotions, those facial expressions, or a touch or a hug. I'm a hugger. I am a hugger. I'm from the South. I'm going to hug you. If I see you, I'm going to hug you. That's my thing. But I truly believe that hugs are healing. I can feel somebody's energy when I hug them. I might hug somebody a little bit tighter if I feel it, or somebody else may need a shorter hug. But you have to have people around you that can feel those things, that in those quiet moments or those subtle interactions, they sense that, okay, LT might need something that she's not saying, or I can hear it in her tone or in the way that she texted me back or the conversation that we had. She needs something. That might be a prayer that you need. You know, I don't know what it is, but you have to have people around you that can feel and sense those things. And that's what I call discernment. Mm-hmm. If you don't have anybody around you that can discern things on your behalf or intercede in prayer for you on your behalf, you have to check those things. As a mother, you need a village, not just for your children. You need a village for yourself.
Word.
So I say it's about the people that you have around you. If you can't say it to them, you should be able to text it to them and say, look, girl, I'm going through something right now. I just need you to pray for me. Now, I can't even tell you what it is, but listen, sis, I might need to come over to your house and I just need you, can you come to me? I just need to cry today. You don't even have to say what it is, but you should have people around you that you're comfortable enough to just say, I need to cry today. And that's enough for them, because you know that you can lean on them. So I think it starts there with who we have around us to be able to be vulnerable. And again, vulnerability doesn't mean you tell your whole truth. You may only be able to give it in bits and pieces, but you should be able to give it to somebody.
Word. That was so good. That was so good. I got, I need to go back. I'm going to listen to it again and take my own notes. That was so good. That was so good. Oh, yes. Okay, so we said that this episode is talking about our mindsets, and I want to talk about, and we'll get to the part about, recharging and replenishing and all of that, but how to, as Black women, as mothers, as wives, as sisters, as daughters, what's the importance of taking captive our thoughts, right? The Bible talks about taking captive your thoughts, and just being able to really rein in and harness the power of our thoughts, because literally what we think, it's something like, as a man thinketh, so he is, and just how to do that and how to keep ourselves in that space of vibrating higher daily to keep ourselves uplifted.
Our minds are literally the biggest asset that we have, and we can use our minds for positivity or for negativity, because it literally starts with the thought, as you said. So if you wake up in the morning and your first thought is, I'm not excited about this day. I don't even want to be at work today. I don't want to do whatever it is you have to do today. You just wake up angry. Your thought has already dictated what your experience is going to be for the day. It has nothing to do with if somebody cut you off in traffic, they didn't get your Starbucks order right, the kid is acting up in school, you had an argument with your spouse. None of those things matter. It was your thought that began in the morning when you woke up that dictated every experience that you have from that point on. So when we wake up and we put our feet on the ground, I don't know if you get up and pray, I get up and pray, but if you do that, whatever it is, you can even pray and still have a bad day. It has nothing to do with that. It's still about the thought. So when you wake up and you tell yourself you're going to have a good day, you can not only have that thought, though, you then have to believe in what you're saying. And then you also have to have the action behind that thought to manifest positivity. I do believe in manifestation, but I believe it encompasses those three things: the thought, the action, the belief, and then what you do and say throughout that day to manifest that positivity. So your mind can be fertile ground for positivity or negativity, but you dictate that by what you do after those thoughts that you think. So I really believe that if we can control our minds, we can control anything. Your body is just waiting for your mind to tell it what to do. And so when we control that mind, we have power. We literally have the authority to dictate how positively everything happens in our lives.
You know what? And that echoes back to what you said about suicides. Just, Regina King's son recently killed himself. I think her name was Chelsea too, right? Chesley Christ, yeah. Mm-hmm. And someone else, another actor, his son killed himself as well. And it's just a lot going on. And that begins with that mindset. Like, or your imagination. And that's the one place, like the Bible talks about in Genesis and throughout, how our imaginations, our minds just are inherently in a negative space, inherently evil, that you have to work and really work at it, right? Just like, how do you perfect your craft? You have to work at it. How do you keep your mind positive? You've got to actively work at that to keep your, you know, in that space. And so just starting off, just asking for, you know, God to renew your mind, to renew your thoughts, or to transform your thoughts, you know, to so that, you know, transform my thoughts so that my thoughts are in alignment with your will for my life, or your purpose for my life, or, you know, if you believe in God. And if you don't believe in God, just what is it? Transform whatever it is. You know, I'm going to transform my thoughts to be in alignment with this. If you want to be successful, you want a successful business and those clients, having the thoughts that will lead to that, you know, that I am, you know, not just a serial entrepreneur, but, you know, I attract, you know, paying clients. I am a, you know, a business, and I run my business with integrity and, you know, with excellency and all of those things. And so that plays a huge part in that too. I know I'm talking about the Bible, and I swear I'm going to get off of that in a second.
That's all right.
But there was a period like the Israelites, where the Israelites looked at themselves as small and weak. And that's easy when you have been captive, right? Like sometimes the places that we are captive are in our minds, the prisons that we've created in our minds, the job might be holding us captive. Our marriage might be holding us captive. You know, childhood traumas might be holding us captive. And so you can begin to feel that you are small and you're weak and that you'll never get out of that. And you, when you, the minute that you adopt that belief in your mind, you are in that space. And so, but in the Bible, it talks about how, that they thought that they were, you know, that they were insignificant, like grasshoppers as compared to giants. And so, like, I guess my question is just, what is, like, if there was one line, like, let's say one affirmation, right, that you could say to just, to jumpstart shifting that thinking, what is one thing that you would say? Or like, what's something, one thing that you say to yourself every day to set your mind in a higher place?
Literally, I have a few affirmations that I say to myself. But one of them that I say, if I'm talking about what you're just talking about, or what you just said, is, I am enough to be enough. And that just means that you talk about being, you know, a grasshopper to a giant. I can't compare the two. We would never be the same. But I am enough to be enough for this season in my life, for the space that I'm in, for who I am, for what God called me to be. And that's for whoever is listening, as a mother, as a wife, whatever it is, whether you work in corporate America, you work in corporate America and you own a business, you have enough to be enough. You cannot compare yourself. So when I get up in the morning and I say that to myself, I believe that for me. I don't believe that for me looking at myself, comparing myself to Courtney or Sheila or, you know, Keisha or whoever it is, Sharon. I don't see them. All I look in the mirror and see is me. What God gave me is enough for me to be enough in this space, and that is okay. When it is time for me to have increase because I've shown myself, you know, ready for that next level, God will take me there. But for where I am and who I am right now, I have enough to be enough. And that is, I will always affirm myself with that, because nobody can take that from me. That's God. And so I'm content in that. I'm not comfortable. I'm content in that, because if I'm comfortable, I want to stay there. I don't want to stay there. Word. But I'm content in knowing that where I am right now is where I'm supposed to be, and where I'm supposed to go, I'll get there. If I just continue to work and I continue to affirm and do what he's called me to do, I'll be there. But I am not comparing myself to anybody around me, because that's not That's not what I'm put here to do. I can see, celebrate, and, you know, congratulate, but my space is for me, and then I'll get to where I need to be.
Amen. Amen. So question, how do you know when it's time to upgrade your speech, your processes, your thinking, your thought life? Like, when do you know it's time to upgrade? Like, for instance, you know when you're in a negative space, right, that you need to upgrade. And sometimes you might not even know that. Somebody can point that out to you. But then you get to a place where, okay, I'm better than I was. But how do you know when it's time to, okay, I need to kick it up a notch and upgrade that thought pattern, upgrade my speech, whether it's to yourself or, you know, to others?
You know, typically, two things will happen in from my personal experience. I'll either feel uncomfortable or God will push me out into something else. And I'm like, okay, I hear you. Like, I'll get uncomfortable with the things that I see around me or that I'm doing or my thought processes. And it's like, you already been there, done that. Like, what are you thinking? You're trying to stay in a space that you're no longer supposed to be in. So I'll feel discomfort. And I always like to say, like, when you are moving and you're doing what you're supposed to do, you have to be you have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, mm-hmm. because I believe in God. God is quick to push me out into something. And it's like, okay, you got to be careful what you pray for, because you're sitting around here praying for stuff, but are you ready for what you're praying for? Because he'll make you uncomfortable. And if you don't feel uncomfortable enough, he will move you. And so that's what has happened in my life, is that I get to these spots and I'm like, all right, you've done that affirmation. You've done this thing. You've been on this gratitude for a little minute. You keep telling yourself these same things, but it's another level. When are you going to move to that next level? God's like, all right, you ain't moving quick enough. I'm going to move for you. And one thing, I don't know if I can consider this an affirmation. LT, we was talking about affirmations yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I consider this an affirmation, but I always say it to myself because I have to stay in tune. But I always tell myself that God will not order steps that you don't take. So I can't be looking for him to do the work for me. If he told me to move, word. I need to move. But if I ain't moving, God like, okay, you playing with me. And so I don't do that anymore. But if I'm looking for, if he's making me uncomfortable or I feel uncomfortable or he's moving me into a different space, I'm like, okay, it's time to upgrade, time for a new level, time for a new method of thinking, time to let go of those negative thoughts or those negative emotions, because you have work to do. So that, in my personal experience, has been something that has happened to me quite often.
So how do you handle the, and this can be insight for a lot of listeners, because when you have that epiphany moment that, okay, it's time to level up, it's time to, you know, to move into a space where I am, you know, nurturing and nourishing and edifying myself more than I currently am, that means that you got to let some people go. And we talked yesterday about NLE Choppa and just his, you know, like when you're in that stagnant place, you need to self-evaluate and then evaluate your circle. But what, like, how do you handle, you know, that? And when I say handle that, I mean handle the fact that, like, look, I have to prune. I've got to cut off some things to no longer serve me. I might have to cut off some people, some relationships, some jobs, you know, some different things that no longer serve me. And I know, like, you have an amazing circle, you know, around you. You've got Kendra, you've got Salisha, you've got a great circle in your family around you. But I'm sure that there's probably been times where you have had to cut those people off and or situations off. In how, what does that look like? And are you apologizing for that?
Oh, that end question was so good, LT. Are you apologizing for that? So I will tell you that I didn't always have the right people around me. I I thought that I did, but what I was, and it's so cliche, but it's very true from my story. I was a giver to takers, and I never stopped giving, and they never stopped taking. And so I had to get around people who I have now, you know, who understand the weight of my vision or my purpose. But what I learned was that, you know, when you are, God is calling you to a certain place, whether it's as a mother or as, you know, a wife or whatever your experience is, what you have to understand is that you cannot be apologetic, because mm-hmm. that's like telling God, this is slapping the face to him, because he gave you the vision. He gave Word. You the purpose. He gave you the means to do what he's called you to do. And so you're apologizing to people who don't understand anything about what he dropped in your spirit to accomplish. That's not your job to do. You have nobody to apologize to for following the calling and the purpose that God has put on your life. Because if you do that, you invalidate everything that he's told you to do. So I've never apologized for that. If God called me to do it, if there's a relationship, there have been relationships where I literally told friends, I'm like, look, I have been a better friend to you than you've been to me. We cannot continue this friendship. And I've had no problems doing that. Years later, they come back. I apologize. I understand. I'm sorry. I want to work on our friendship. If that's that kind of person that is supposed to be on your life, in your life, they will recognize and try to make amends with you. But you cannot be apologetic, and you cannot be afraid to lose relationships if you really want what you say you want. Word. That's why I say you got to be careful what you pray for, because if you pray for something, God ain't gonna move how you want him to move. He's going to take you through some things. You will lose probably more than you think you have to lose. And then when you see where the end is that he was trying to take you, you'll understand that you had to let some things go to get there. But my thing that I always talk about is I always focus on the action and not the outcome. So if he tell me to do something, I can't worry about what it's going to look like. I have to just do what he told me to do. That I can lose friendships, relationships with my family. I don't care what it is, but if he says do it, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it, and I will not apologize for it, because that to me is like, what you was thinking, God? Like, you told me to do this, but you really expect me to let this relationship go? No, that's me not having faith. I have to trust that what he told me to do is going to work. And so I don't apologize for it. I have not, and I will never. And as a mother and a wife or a girlfriend, whatever it is, wherever you are in your journey, you may have to take a look at those things for yourself and say, okay, is God calling, or whoever you believe in, and I say this too, I don't care what you believe in, as long as you believe in something, whatever you're called to do, just make sure that you're willing to make a sacrifice for what you've been called to do, because you will have to sacrifice, but you have to be willing to go through it to really get what you're asking for. So I don't make apologies, and if anybody doesn't like me for it, I still love them when I get to where God has called me to be.
Word. I follow this girl. I'm trying to think of what her name is on Instagram. And she's pretty funny, but every now and then she give me something and it makes me pause. And I'm like, you know, that was a gem right there. And she was talking about, you know, you have to be careful what you say. And that's that, which is going to segue us into the tongue as it relates to our mindset. But she said that, you know, you pray for, you know, that you pray for better relationships, you know, with people. And then next thing you know, you don't have certain people in your life and you're upset about that. But that's what you asked for. You asked for better relationships. These were people who were draining from you. They weren't giving anything to you. So that's why they're no longer here.
That's right.
And so, you know, and she went on a list of other things. And I was like, man, that was good. And so I know that a lot of times, especially, or I'll speak for me, from my personal experience. When I have a lot of siblings, and you think that, okay, I help my siblings and I help do this with my siblings. And, you know, when you have a child, I can just raise my child. It's nothing. I've already done this. And it's not the same. It is not the same.
Yeah.
And so, and you evolve, because the person that you were, when you were pregnant is not the same person that you are now that your child is actually here. And you're not the same person in year 3 than you were in year 1. And so of, you know, being a caring for somebody 24/7, 365. And sometimes you have those people around you who, as you're changing, as you're, you know, evolving, that are reminding you, or you know, well, you're still this person and that. And so that's why I brought that up, because there is a piece of that where you have to carve that away. Or it's also a piece where it's a reflection too, right? Because, you know, if you're somebody who is always dumping garbage, verbal garbage, whatever that is, on, you know, on people, then and they also dump it on you, y'all are both mutual dumpsters, then when you begin to change and that's not you, they will still treat you like you're a receptacle, and they will understand, and not to say anything bad about them, but you've elevated to a different place in your, you know, in how you handle yourself, in your, what you allow to come out of your mouth, what you speak out into the universe. And so you're being more intentional, and they're not there yet. And so they will still treat you like you're a receptacle. And so sometimes it can be hard to let go of those relationships, because there is a sense of being comfortable in that. Like, this person was there for me when I went through all of these things. And now that they're going through these things, you feel this guilt of not being there, but that's because you've moved up. And you also have to keep in mind that you are still a mother. You are still a wife. You are still a sister. And you still have all of these additional responsibilities. And now when you know, you are changing and evolving, sometimes it's hard to do, you know, do that. And so when you offer a different way of talking to them, then it's like they look at you strange, or they say something crazy, and they just like, no, I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what you can do with that. And so then I felt where it's just like, I felt maybe not necessarily that I needed to apologize, but in some way I felt bad or sorry that, like, okay, I've outgrown this space. I've outgrown this space. And the devil has a funny way of, when like life comes, like you'll tell yourself you've outgrown this space, and then the devil will come and throw something at you. And it's like, did you really outgrow this space? Because, you know where you can go to, you know, dump your trash. And so, you know, and fall back into that same rut. That's why you like keeping your mind, you know, set on things high and things above and not below.
That's right. Definitely.
That was a word. We're going to pause and we're going to take a break here, and we will return in just a little bit. Welcome back to episode 1, season 2 of Mommy and Wild Black. And we're back with Chelsea. All right. So Chelsea, let me ask you this. So we're talking about mindset, and obviously your tongue is a huge part of your mindset. As a mother, I'll say some things that I think we fall into saying over ourselves. There's not enough hours in the day. I have to do everything. If I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. But you know, just things like that, which, depending on how you look at it, could be, you know, positive, negative, neutral. It leans more towards being negative, but you know, like, it's not enough hours in the day. I have to do everything. Like, I'm not getting enough sleep. So starting there, right? Like, you know, we obviously we thought it in our mind before we said it out of our mouth, but also the minute that we say that out of our mouth, and we've talked about this, just that whatever it is we say, anytime, and I'm learning that, I'm literally learning that right now, that anytime I say anything, it is a prayer. Me talking to you right now is a prayer, right? And when we think about praying, we think, you know, our Father and Allah. But it's literally, you are saying something that the universe hears, and it's going to show up. And whether it can show up in a positive light, or it can show up in a negative light. And so how do you train your tongue? Like, I was going to add something to that, but no, I'm going to leave it just how it is. How do you train your tongue?
you know, that's so good that you said that everything that we say is a prayer. That's so deep. And I really hope that our mothers, our mommies, I hope they catch that, because you can affirm negativity. Like, literally, those things that you just said, there's not enough time in the day. If I have to do it, I have to do everything by myself. You know, all of those things, you literally affirm negativity. Those are negative statements that we tell ourselves. And the way we control it is, okay, of course, we start with the mind, but we have to create space for positivity. So we can eliminate the negative thought, not just by affirming positivity, but then putting the action behind it. Okay, you say you don't have enough time in the day. Let's retract that statement, or let's flip it around and say, I will create time. Because let's say something happened to your son, LT. Time stops, or you're going to make time. He gets hurt, you make time.
Word.
If you're working, let's say in corporate America, and your manager says, I don't like to call anybody a boss because they don't have no power over you. I call them managers. If your manager said you have a report that's due by 10 p.m. or that's your job, and you know that's your only means of making a way for your family, you're going to make it happen by 10 p.m. because you have to. Mm-hmm. So there's no such thing as there's not enough time. We make time for the things that we feel are important. Aren't you important? You're important to your son, because if there's no you, how does your son survive? You are important. So you have to tell yourself, I am important enough to create time for me. You say, I have to do things, or I always have to do everything on my own. You don't. You have to create space to trust people to help you. You have a village. Are you relying on that village? Do you have people that you can trust? If you don't, you have to find those people. You have to create space in your life for other people to be able to support you. There should be people that can hold your arms up when they get weak. That means if your son needs to be picked up from daycare, can you call your friend and say, friend, listen, I got stuck on a business call, or I'm stuck in traffic. Will you please go pick my son up, because I need your help today? We can create positivity by affirming it, but also creating space for those things to be true. And then we erase the negativity. So the words that we speak are so important, but we first have to create the belief that those things are true. You can say anything, but if you don't believe it's true, it's not. And so we have to create the space for those things, because they can be. You don't have to be the only one to do it. There is enough time in the day, because you make time for the things that are important. You are the first thing that is important. Because if you're not the first thing that's important, there's no way you can do anything for your son. No way.
I thought up when you were just saying that about, you know, as an exercise, writing down the things that you say on a daily, like some of those things that I just said, as mothers that we say to ourselves, as wives, as girlfriends, as whatever, that we say to ourselves and that are negative, and writing it all down and literally taking a lighter to it and burning it, and then writing down all of the things that you will say positive yourself, everything that is a contradiction to the exact opposite of what you wrote and burned, and leaving it burned.
I love it.
And leaning into that, I think that it is easy to be in that space. I think one of the things, and this is where, you know, it's podcast for, you know, topics for other episodes, is like, because it's Black women, I wonder sometimes if we feel so heavy because everything is literally placed on us, and we are seen as resilient, and we're seen as, you don't need to go to therapy. You don't need to, like, you pull yourself together. Like you talked about our parents, like, you don't need to, what are you seeing a therapist for? You don't need to see a therapist, like, read your Bible. But God created therapists because you need a therapist.
That's right.
And so it can, or if it's things that we have placed on ourselves. I remember watching a sermon Michael Todd at Transformation Church did, and he was talking about offenses, and he was just like, there's two types of offenses. It's the offenses that are placed on you. Example, you get raped, you get molested. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask for that. That was placed on you. But then there's also the offenses that we pick up, right? And so the things that we as we're walking along, we're like, I'm going to take this. I'm going to take that. I'm going to take this. And I'm going to carry it with me. And so just in that thought process, like how much I was literally thinking about that, like how much of it is the things that as mothers, as women that we carry and we're responsible for, and we feel that we have to take ownership of and take on that we are required to do. And then how much of it is what we are choosing to pick up under the guise of we are required to do this. That really like got me thinking about that. So I want to talk about this for, I have two or three more questions. So I want to talk about this in terms of do you create harmony? I don't want to say balance because work-life balance. I've been talking to my friend Yoli about that. And I'm like, that is a farce. But create harmonious living and liberty and freedom, and doing that while I work and I'm a mother, and you are an entrepreneur, and you know you're a wife, like and you're in church, and you know whatever all of those hats that you wear. How do you create harmony with that?
I think that's a great question and a beautiful word to use, harmony instead of balance. What I believe is, of course, we're talking about mindset, so not to run that in the hole, but of course that's where it starts. Okay, mm-hmm. we already talked about that. We have to have fertile ground. We have to make our minds fertile ground for harmony, first of all, and believe that it is attainable in everything that we do. So even before you are a mother, before you are, you know, an employee or an entrepreneur or a wife, or you're in the church, you know, I don't know if you sing, you're on a praise team, you first lady, whatever it is that you are, before you're any of those things, you are an individual. And you have to feed your spirit, your mind with positivity and things that are going to help you flourish. If you like to read books, you're going to have to take some time out of your day every day to read a book. If you need to sit in silence, you know, for 10 minutes, sit in silence. Whether you're driving home in traffic and you don't turn, you know, the radio on, you're not listening to a podcast, you just need to be in complete silence as you drive, to be one with your thoughts. Therapy. If you need to go to therapy, I go to therapy. Love therapy. Gonna always go to therapy. If that's your thing, do that. But you have to feed your individual soul first before you can be any of those things. So that is the key to harmony. That is you are the foundation to everything as a mother. You know, you gotta nurture your kids. You nurture your husband. You know, you are the nurturer for everybody. But if you don't first nurture yourself, you can't do that for anybody else. And so you are the foundation for harmony. But even then, you know, as you balance the work and the family and the marriage, you have to involve them in what you do.
Yes.
So instead of trying to bear everything on your own, you tell the kids. I don't think, and again, I'm not a mother, so mommies forgive me, but hear me when I say this. I don't think that mommies and daddies too, I don't think you give enough credit to your kids. Kids are very smart. They're very intuitive. They can sense things. They know when you're upset. They know when you're hurt. They know when something is going wrong.
Yes,
and if you don't channel that the right way, they feel like they're bearing the weight of your burden. And then they feel bad. Include them. Say, you know what? Mommy's not feeling good today. Mommy's hurt because X, Y, and Z happened, or mommy's sad because X, Y, and Z. They already know it. What they're waiting for you is to be vulnerable with them. Tell them, because guess what they're going to do? They're going to come sit in your lap. It's okay, mommy. They're going to rub your back. I'm here. They're doing everything that you did to them because you've already taught them how to be consoled.
Yes.
And you've consoled them. They're going to do the same for you. But if you don't include them, now they feel like a burden when it's not really them. Include your husband. Talk to your husband. You're both going through things. Baby, today You know, it was a hard day at work. You know, I don't need, men are fixers, okay? Men want to fix things. You don't want to be fixed. You want to say, baby, today I just want to tell you. Let me just cry. I don't need you to fix anything. I just want to vent. Tell them, but you have to include them in your journey. And that creates harmony. Nobody's off balance, or excuse me, nobody's not in conjunction with you when they know what's going on. But when we don't communicate our emotions, nobody knows how to react. The kids don't know. Your husband doesn't know. You think he should be able to read your mind? He shouldn't. You got to tell him. If you can't tell him to his face, send a text message, write a letter. But you have to include everybody, because they're looking to you for the harmony. And so you have to then give them, lay it at their feet. It's okay. You can have a talk with God, journal, you know, go to therapy. As I said, you need somebody that you can go to, your tribe. You have to have somebody that you can lean on. But when you include the kids, the babies, the husband, and everybody knows what's happening, they want to support, and you need their support, mm-hmm. but you have to let them know how you need it. You have more support than you think you have. As a mother, I promise you, you do, but you have to open up the door for somebody to be able to do it.
Word. So many gems in what you say. That fertile grounds piece that you said that spoke to me. Like, you have to be fertile ground. You can't plant harmony in tainted soil, in bad soil, right. in genetically modified soil. Like, it has got to be fertile. And you said believing that harmony is attainable in everything we do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to write that on my mirror. Like, I'll write that on my mirror in my bathroom. Like, I believe that harmony is attainable in everything that I do. Literally everything that you do. Everything that you do.
Right.
Driving somewhere. Sitting in traffic. Yep. I live in Houston, so like traffic is ridiculous. But but that harmony is attainable in everything that we do. And like the things that stuck out for me is just like cultivating. Like you have to, it's just like being a farmer. You have to till the land. You have to cultivate.
Right.
You have to put in time. And that is it being intentional. Like you have to be intentional. But doing that, also giving yourself grace. Like in those things. So like grace, like being intentional, grace, cultivating, those stuck out to me. That the place for me to have harmony, that this is supposed to be a sacred place. This is, and so like you, just like when you're having a baby, you know, you want your womb to be fertile. That is a sacred space. And you are intentional with what you eat. You are intentional about what you say, even if you know, because you know your baby can hear you in the womb, and you are cultivating a womb, a making sure that your uterus and everything is safe inside, you know, for your baby.
Yep.
And you are being gracious with yourself. That's when you're like, look, I can't get to where I'm going because like I waddle, so I can't get there fast. And you're gracious with yourself because you're just like, look, I'm serving a higher purpose to my child.
Yep.
So I'm gonna get there when I get there. And
that's right.
And so, but just extending that same grace to yourself is what I heard when you were speaking. And so I love that. All right. So two things. One, I want to know, what is a book? What's one of your favorite books that you have read that have been transformational for you in your life?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked this question, because you were talking earlier and it made me think about the book, The Four Agreements. I love The Four Agreements. As a woman, a Black woman, for my mommies out there, I implore you, I urge you, like you must, if you haven't, even if you have, I'm going to ask you to read it again. The Four Agreements will transform your thinking. We talking about mindset. That is, I would say, probably the number one book I've read on mindset. And the second agreement is the one that is so good that I will read over and over and over again. When we talk about mindset, the second agreement is don't take anything personal. And that is so important to mindset, because again, we're talking about what we tell ourselves. Literally, that book talks about what people say to you has nothing to do with you, whether it's good or bad. They can say you look pretty today. doesn't mean you didn't look pretty yesterday. Don't mean that you won't look pretty tomorrow. It's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of how they feel about themselves. As women, as Black women, society teaches us that we have to look a certain way. We have to speak a certain way. We have to walk a certain way. Our hair has to be a certain way. And what people say about those things, social media is a force. We see, you know, the pretty women here, the pretty women there. She looks like she has it together. She's a good mom. You know, she's a good wife. We're only seeing pictures. We don't know what it looks like. And so when we take things personally, those things affect us. We change the nature of the fabric of who we are to accommodate what we see or what somebody says to us. And that's not real. So when it says, don't take anything personally, you literally cannot take anything personally. I don't care if you get in an argument with your husband. You should not take anything personally that he says to you. He knows you better than anybody. But when I tell you, when you embody what that agreement says, you'll understand that anything somebody says to you is not about you. And that is 100% mindset. It takes work. I'm going to tell you that. It takes work to not take anything personally. And it's something that I think we have to continue to train our brains to do. But mommies, I'm telling y'all, if you can just read that, it's a short book. It is a really short book. It may be 120 or 40 pages. If you just take up 10 pages every day, just take 10 minutes, 10 pages every day, and you read the four agreements, it will transform your life as a Black woman, as a mother. And if you are married or in a relationship as a wife, and when you get ready to, you know, get to the marriage stage or whatever, I'm telling you, it'll help you in every area of your life. The four agreements, you got to go get that book.
Nice. Thank you for that. I already put it in the Amazon cart. I looked it up. It's by Don Miguel Ruiz. I'll make sure I put that in the notes.
I went and I looked it up.
So thank you for sharing that. I want to talk about your book that you wrote. And so I want to talk about Note to Self. So can you tell us a little bit about that? And what led you to write that? And, you know, what is it about? And I know it's a tool that mothers can definitely use. And so, I'll let you speak on it.
Note to Self is, where it came from. I was going through a depression myself at that time. So that book came out of my own depression. And it's really not even a book. It's more of a journal. Mm-hmm. And while I didn't initially create it to be focused on mindset, it really ended up being that now that I think back on it. It's really to have a reference point, some time for yourself, kind of how we were talking about that internal, you know, assessment, going back to, you know, think about yourself and make sure that you're fertile ground for harmony. It really is that. I mean, again, when I created it, wasn't thinking about that. I was depressed. I needed something to encourage myself to keep going, to keep, you know, doing what I was called to do, but I just couldn't see the way at that time. And so every day or 21 days, you get a quote, and then you get three prompts of questions. And the questions are, you know, what are you thankful for? How will you be a blessing today? And, you know, blessing to someone else today, and kind of affirming yourself. And you get a page to just journal, literally. So it's a space for your thoughts to share whatever it is that you feel. And again, I had no other reason in that time in my life of creating it. Just that I was depressed and I needed something, you know, a place to express my thoughts and really affirm myself. So every day is a quote that not necessarily is all of affirmations, but it's something to make you think. Like two of the quotes that always stick out in my mind is the right no is better than the wrong yes. And I tell myself that a lot because you can hear that in any phase of life, from, you know, the husband, the job, you know, as an entrepreneur, if you're trying to, you know, attract clients, you may think you want the yes because you want the money, but all money ain't good money. I know we've heard that before, but it's so true. So you have to be very particular about the yeses that you're accepting in your life and be okay with the no. The no is is okay. The no could be from God. The no doesn't mean no forever. The no could be being right now, or the no could mean this is not the thing that I have for you to pursue. Just hold on a little bit longer until you get to the yes. And then the other one that always sticks out that is personal to me is to never let your beauty be eclipsed by somebody else's insecurities. People have a funny way of projecting their insecurities onto your life. As a mother, you know, why are you having kids right now? Or you shouldn't be having kids as a single mother, having kids out of wedlock, or you shouldn't be married to this man and this X, Y, and Z. Those are your problems that you have. You can't tell me how to live my life. My life is orchestrated how it's supposed to. God didn't put me here because he knew this was how it was going to end. There's a better purpose, a higher purpose. So I'm not going to let your insecurities eclipse the beauty, you know, that I'm experiencing in my life. So those things, those two stick out in my mind. And those are all quotes that I wrote from different experiences that I've had. But that book or that journal is literally is just to refocus every morning about how you're going to structure your day and give you some time to express yourself. Because again, we talk about as Black women, we don't have safe spaces to do that. Now you have it with the Mommy and Wild Black podcast, but that journal is also a place where you can just be true to who you are, write down what you feel, and do it unapologetically, and give yourself an opportunity to show yourself love. You give it to everybody else, you should be able to give it to yourself first thing every morning or whenever you do it throughout the day.
Yes, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. So I'm definitely going to make sure that that's in the notes. I'm going to make sure that that's on social media so they know where to go so that they can purchase that book. And then, you know, listeners, definitely share your feedback about the book and just the experience and, you know, and how it has transformed you or what you've gotten out of it. I'm sure Chelsea welcomes the feedback as well, but I'm curious. I would love to know if you've purchased the book, are you going to purchase the book once you've gotten through it? You know, how has it been for you? I want to know. All right. So we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, I have one question for you and then we'll close it out. All right, listeners, okay. We'll be back in just a moment. Yeah. Welcome back to Mommy and Wild Black, season 2, episode 1. All right, Chelsea. So this is my last question to you. What do you do, whether it's a routine or if you do something, maybe you do it every so often, but what is something that you do or someone you talk to, something you read, something you listen to that recharges you? Like, you're the refresher, you refresh everybody else. Like, who's refreshing you? And not in that way. I ain't talking about you, you know. But you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. You know, I would say probably two people. One is my therapist. I am so thankful for my therapist at a time in my life where I think that everything that could go wrong was going wrong. She was like a piece of saving grace for me. And so I definitely get refreshed and recharged and rejuvenated in my conversations or my sessions with her. But somebody that I have been rocking with for a long time is Eric Thomas. Before the world knew who Eric Thomas was, I was watching him when this man was recording videos in his house, in his basement, you know, on railroad tracks and all of this stuff. I've been watching Eric Thomas, and I was fortunate enough to meet him twice. I've been to quite a few of his conferences, so I've met him personally and been able to just talk with him in the spirit of him. One thing that I thanked him for was his obedience. Yes. Because what I recognize is when you do what you're called to do, that opens the door for other people to do what they're called to do, because people are tied to our visions, whether we know it or not. Woo! And him doing his work, yes, allowed me to be able to do my work. And so I listen to him, you know, little tidbits, whether it's a 3-minute or 15-minute or 30-minute or an hour, I can listen to him. And even when I'm working out in the gym or I'm on the way to the gym, I listen to that man, and I'm always going to be pumped. I'm always going to have a word or a story, or God will drop something in my spirit. And I'm like, he has that anointing on him, that kind of thing that you just, you feel it. He don't got to say a lot, but you feel it when you hear him. And so Eric Thomas has literally, I mean, been one of, it's so influential. And then my therapist, so influential. And then, like, it's just those two, I mean, for the callings that are on their life, you gotta, those are the kind of people that you need to be connected to. And so Eric Thomas and my therapist, for sure, they replenish and recharge me every single time.
Amen, amen. Girl, a word. So I went to, we went to Cabo the end of the year. And while we were on the trip, one of the individuals who came on the trip with us, he's a pastor. His name is Caleb. And yesterday, and I saved it, yesterday he posted on Instagram and it says, somebody somewhere is dependent on you to do what God has called you to do. And so when you said that about Eric, that was the thought that came to my mind, that somebody somewhere, it could be your own children, right?
That's
your husband,
right.
Somebody somewhere is waiting for you. They can't step into their next level because you ain't leveled up.
Come on.
They're literally waiting for you.
That's
to
right.
Do what God called you to do, to step into the shoes God told you to fill, to ascend to new heights that God told you to climb, to just you are playing around. And your playing around is delaying for somebody else. And that's the thing that we just don't remember. What the pandemic taught us, right? How interconnected we are. Did we think like, oh, okay, I'm just in my little, like, I would talk all the time. I am notorious for saying it. People be like, oh, you know, I'm from California. Where you from? New Orleans? Oh, you from Louisiana? That's not what I said. I said I'm from New Orleans. Now the rest of them, they from wherever they from. But me, I'm from here. And so, like, and quick to say that. Like, oh, you from Houston? I just live in Houston. You know, this is a pit stop. Like, that part. So when you said that, like, just being obedient. And so I pray that this episode blesses some women and that they can take away the gems that they need. You know, they can take away, you know, eat the meat and throw away the bones, you know, so to speak. But that they are able to also pass that on to someone else, that it falls on fertile soil. You know, like in the Bible where it talks about falling on stony earth and, you know, just but that it really takes root. Because there's so many things in here that we talked about that I needed to hear, and just even saying, and it's another thing to like know it or think it in your mind and to say it out loud to yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, I hadn't said out loud to myself that like everything that you say is a prayer. I just been gnawing on that. Like, just reflecting back, like, some things that you say and you don't realize, it may seem insignificant to you at the time when you say it, and then you see something and you're just like, I spoke that.
Yes.
I spoke that.
Yes.
Not I thought that. You know what I'm saying? I spoke that. Like, even God, right, with forming the earth, he could have formed it with his mind and I did nothing. But it said, let there be. Let there be light, and there was light.
Into existence.
Exactly.
That's right.
And so, like, everything that we say, you know, and so, but just that, like, what you said about just being obedient and just moving, and that God will line everything up, even when it might not look like, you're telling me to do this, but I don't know how I'm going to do it. And we talked about this, like, as it relates to the podcast, like, because, which is episode for another time, but you know, but just like that, not sure how everything was going to come together, and it just move. It will, everything will come together. So I thank you again so much for being on here. Give you a moment to, you know, say where people can contact you at, where they can find you on, you know, social media. Like I said, I just found you on TikTok. but in all fairness, y'all, I'm the last person to get on TikTok. So, you know, but where they, your website, how they can get in touch with you, if they want to book you for consultations or just whatever. So go ahead.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at I Am The Refresher, just how it sounds, I Am The Refresher. My website, which I think LT is going to put in the bio,
yes,
or for you to see the book, it's www.f5, five is the word five, not the number five, www.f5consulting.com. I'm happy to do, you know, consultations with you personally or professionally. My gift is in personal, because I know that when we control our mind, the mind is the key to personal and professional success all the time. Mm-hmm. So when you get your mind right, I'm telling you, everything else falls into place. But I'm happy to have been a part of this podcast, and I'm looking forward to talking to the mommies. You mothers have a task that I don't think any of us really understand until you actually become a mother. And so I pray for you all. I salute the work that you do, but know that you don't have to do it alone. You're not doing it alone. Lean on the people around you. You have a tribe, and even me. I don't know where you are, but I know that we'll meet soon. I'm here to help and support as well, because you need it, and God put us here to make sure that you stay lifted and stay encouraged.
Yes. A word. She not going to let us leave here without a refreshing word. But yes, listeners, yes, thank you so much. Thank you for rocking with us all the way into season two. Thank you so much for just listening and showing up. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for every share, every like, every repost that you did. Thank you so much. Season one was amazing. I'm growing. I am learning. But I'm so thankful. Just stepping back and allowing God to take the reins and do with the podcast what he will. And Chelsea's going to be, we're definitely going to connect more on Mommy and Wild Black. And we discussed it, talking about doing some live talks on Instagram and social media. That way mothers, women can interact with us. And so I'm super excited. Like, I'm super excited for just everything, and excited for you and the anointing and purpose on your life, Chelsea. So, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about 2022.
Absolutely. And I hope that, I know that this podcast is literally going to transform people's lives. And so I'm thankful that God placed it on your heart to do, and that you were obedient, you know, so you are reaching people, and it's literally 2022, I think it's going to blow your mind and blow the mommy's mind. So I'm grateful, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to do in the future and being able to provide live experiences for people to get the help or the encouragement and just the support that Black mothers need in this world.
Yes. So again, thank you so much for listening. And this concludes episode one, season two of Mommy and Wild Black. Bye.
Don't get it on my own. Do it on my own.